What's going on, guys? It's your host, Austin Smith, for the Lions Empire podcast. This is the first episode for the Lions Empire podcast. We're going to be doing weekly episodes. And this is also my first solo episode doing podcasts, so bear with me here. I might sound a little nervous or a little shaky, but it should get better the more episodes I do and the more weeks that go by. So I just want to start off with doing a little intro on myself. I'm 21 years old. I'm from a very small town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I've been a diehard Lions fan for about, I'd say, a good 7 or 8 years. I used to love waking up every Sunday, throwing on my jersey and my sweatpants, and watch the Lions game in the living room with my dad. We'd always sit in these certain spots in our living room, otherwise the juju would get messed up in the living room and the Lions would start doing bad. But yeah, I just want to start off by talking about the free agency period for the Lions and what a magnificent job Bob Quinn has done this offseason. We came into the season with about $30 million in cap space, I think. I think it was around $25 or $30 million, and they made cuts to Bruce Ellington, big ones, TJ Lang and Glover Quinn, them two obviously in the back nine of their career and losing steps, slowing down, having injury problems. So yeah, you hate to see guys like that leave, but Bob Quinn is looking towards the future for the Lions franchise, and he made the decision to cut those guys. I think it was a good idea. We obviously seen Glover Quinn losing steps last year, and TJ Lang just couldn't seem to stay healthy with all those concussions. So good, smart move on Bob Quinn's part, starting the year off that. Let's go to about, I think it was about 2 or 3 days before the tampering period started for free agency. The Lions had Danny Amendola over for a visit. They ended up signing him to a one-year, $3.5 million deal. It was $4.5 million. Danny, had a pretty decent year for the Dolphins. 59 receptions for about 575 yards with one touchdown. He did miss a few games in there for the Dolphins. I personally like the signing. It's a one-year deal, so we're not after this year, if he doesn't perform, we can obviously let him walk in free agency, or he might be on the brink of retirement. But I do like the signing. I think he could be a pretty competent slot wide receiver for the Lions in between Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay on the outsides. So, yep, give it about a B-plus rating. Pretty good signing. Nothing could be worse, could be better. Next, let's go to the tampering period. I believe it was March 12th it started. I actually ended up taking a nap on this day for about 3 or 4 hours, and I woke up seeing that the Lions ended up signing Jesse James, Trey Flowers, and Justin Coleman. Let's start off with Jesse James. He's a tight end for Pittsburgh Steelers. Last year, he had 30 receptions for 2 touchdowns. The year prior, he had 43 receptions, 372 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Really interesting free agent here. He was kind of put in a first and second down role for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he was behind Vance McDonald in the depth chart. So I don't feel like he has reached his true potential yet. He's only 24 years old. He's getting better every year, as he stated in his interview with the Lions. But yeah, I think his ceiling's a little higher than it was in Pittsburgh. I think personally, my opinion on Jesse James, he's not the fastest guy, but he's a very big target. He's like 6'7" or 6'8". He's very, very good at finding the open zones and zone coverage. And I personally love the deal. I think he was the best tight end out there for free agency wise. And yeah, I think great blocker, by the way. He's great at blocking. And moving on to Justin Coleman, he's mainly a slot corner, plays a lot of inside. He played for the Seattle Seahawks for 2017 to 2018. Last year, he had 55 total tackles, 1 interception, and 9 pass deflections, or excuse me, 10 pass deflections. I personally love this signing. The Lions really needed help at corner besides Darius Slay. Jamal Agnew doesn't seem to be panning out. Tease Tabor, second round pick from Bob Quinn there. He doesn't seem to be panning out. Doesn't seem like he's getting much better. He is still very young, so I hope he proves me wrong in this way. But I do believe Justin Coleman's a very good corner. We ended up making him the highest paid slot corner ever. We're paying him $9 million a year. I believe it's a 4-year deal. And I love the signing. Lions need a lot of help in that secondary besides Quandre Diggs and Darius Slay. So yeah, I give the signing an A-, just because I do think we did overpay for him a little bit, but he's still young. He's still a great player, so I don't have a problem with it. And now we go to the big signing. The Lions ended up signing Trey Flowers to a mega-million-dollar deal. 5 years, $90 million. Last year for the Patriots, he had 57 tackles and 7.5 sacks, 2 pass defenses. And, man, this was huge for the Detroit Lions. The Lions needed a lot of help at that defensive end position with Ziggy Ansah departing in free agency. Flowers is 25 years young. He's a phenomenal defensive end, not only rushing the passer but also setting that edge in the run game. I don't think there's many defensive ends better than him in that way. Excuse me there. Trey Flowers, many viewed him to be the top free agent going into this free agency class. So the Lions ended up landing him. Obviously, he has familiarity with Matt Patricia. And it just made sense. You know, a lot of Lions fans figured Trey would be a Lion this year. And I'm super happy Bob Quinn was aggressive right out of the gate and ended up bringing him in. So that was huge for the Detroit Lions. Another thing I'd like to add, Trey Flowers, he did only have 7.5 sacks for the Patriots last year, which isn't a lot, I would say, for a top defensive end. But need to put into mind that he did play a lot inside for the Patriots as a defensive tackle. And I think his sack numbers are going to rise a lot, knowing that the Lions have a lot of great defensive tackles with Snacks Harrison, Deshaun Hand, Ashawn Robinson. So I do think he's going to be moving around at the edge, and I do think he's going to have around maybe a 10 to 12 sack year. Hope he proves me wrong and gets some more, but I do just like to put that out there. Next, I think one of the more underrated signings in free agency this year is Rashawn Melvin. They ended up signing him to a 1-year, $3.5 million deal, which is actually pretty cheap for him. He had a great year in Indianapolis in 2017. He's actually a top 5 rated corner per PFF. Last year for the Oakland Raiders, he had 56 tackles, 1 interception. The year before, he also had 9 pass defenses. The year before in Indianapolis, he had 36 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 13 pass defenses. And yeah, like I said, he was a top 5 rated corner for the Colts. And I do believe his numbers kind of declined in Oakland based on the fact that Oakland had no pass rush whatsoever with the departure of Khalil Mack over there. I think that he's going to be a great corner for the Lions. And I do believe if he stays healthy, he can be that cornerback too that we've been looking for opposite of Darius Slay. Like I said, it's only a 1-year deal, so if he doesn't perform, we can let him walk in free agency next year. And maybe focus on a corner in the draft next year. I do believe it's a good defensive back year for the draft next year. Moving on, I'd just like to talk about some other free agents that the Lions have signed competing for depth roles. Tommy Lee Lewis, wide receiver and punt returner from the New Orleans Saints. Last year as a wide receiver, he had 3 receptions for 60 yards and a touchdown. And many know that he was the wide receiver out on the play that Nickel Roby Coleman interfered with in the NFC Championship game. Another player that the Lions signed was Andrew Adams, safety. He's coming from Tampa Bay. He also played 2 years in New York for the Giants. Last year, he had 36 total tackles and 4 interceptions, 3 coming from 1 game against Carolina. So his stats in that category are going to be a little inflated, but a good depth signing for the Lions. I think he'll be behind Quandre Diggs and Tracy Walker on the depth chart. But he might get a decent amount of playing time because Matt Patricia loves running 3 safety sets. So I do like the signing. Got him cheap. And yeah, moving on here, I'd just like to talk about some prospects in the draft that I think will be great players for the Detroit Lions. Let's start off with Ed Oliver coming from Houston. In 2018, he had 54 tackles, 14.5 TFLs, 3 sacks, and a forced fumble. Also, 2 pass defense in only 8 games for Houston. And those numbers are insane. He can play anywhere from defensive tackle all the way to linebacker. He's so athletic. And I do believe if he is there at 8, the Lions will take him. He'd be a great piece to that defense. We could use him as a linebacker and a defensive end opposite of Trey Flowers, and that would just solidify the front 7 for the Lions. Another player that I'm really high on is Devin White, a linebacker from LSU. And this guy is a athletic freak. He ran, a 4.42, 4.4. I think it was a 4.43 in the combine. Him laterally moving on the field is just incredible to watch. And again, him in that front 7 for the Lions would just solidify it. And I think if he's there at 8, the Lions could take him. Another guy that I'm also very high on is Josh Allen. But the reality of him being there at 8 is very slim. I do believe he's going to be taken in the top 4. Last year, in 2018, he had 88 tackles, 21.5 tackles for loss, 17 sacks, and 5 forced fumbles in 13 games. And let me tell you, this guy is sick. He's also great in coverage. I do believe he's going to be an outside linebacker in the NFL for the 4-3 defenses, and he'll be primarily a defensive end if he goes to a 3-4 team. This guy is sick, and I think he's going to be the best player coming out of the draft this year. He could very well go to San Francisco, and yeah, like I said, this guy is sick. Another guy that I'm also has on my radar at number 8 is Montez Sweat. He lit it up at the combine. He ran a 4.42 as a defensive end, which I think is the highest out of all front 7 players. And yeah, he had a great year for Mississippi State. I'm trying to pull up his stats here. And oh, there we go. I pulled him up. 2018, Montez Sweat, 53 tackles, 14.5 tackles for loss, and 12 sacks, 1 forced fumble in 13 games. He has an 84.5 wingspan, and this guy is going to be sick coming off the edge. I think he's going to be a great defensive end in the league. He does have heart problems, so that is also a raising concern, but I still do believe he's going to be a top 15 pick in the draft this coming year. Another prospect that I think is the most realistic at this point is Jonah Williams, offensive tackle for Alabama. He's 6'5", 301 pounds. 2018, 0 sacks allowed. And that's very impressive coming in the SEC, looking at all those pass rushers. And this dude does seem like the most realistic prospect for the Lions at number 8. I would not personally be a fan of this because I do not believe that Jonah Williams is top 10 talent. But we all know that Bob Quinn loves to draft those linemen in the first and second round. So it does seem like the most realistic pick at this point. Also knowing that TJ Lang departed this offseason. He was cut by the Lions, like I stated earlier. Moving on, another prospect that I'm very fond of is TJ Hawkinson, tight end out of Iowa. 6'4", 250 pounds. He's a redshirt sophomore. 2018, he had 49 catches for 760 yards. It's a 15 yards per catch average. 6 touchdown and 1 rush for 4 yards and a touchdown. One reason that I'm very high on Hawkinson is that this guy is a mauler. He is pretty much another offensive lineman out here. He's gotten comparisons to Gronk by many NFL analysts. And, yeah, Hawkinson would be a great piece for the Lions. I know that they're looking for tight end help. Upquin stated that in the beginning of the year that they are looking for some tight end help. Obviously, with the addition of Jesse James, this might not be the most ideal pick for the Lions at number 8. There's a lot of great tight ends in the draft this year, and I personally think they might go after a tight end in round 2 or 3. Moving on here, one of, I think, the biggest sleeper in this draft is defensive end from Florida State, Brian Burns. Burns played 8 games his freshman season. He logged 8.5 sacks, 9.5 tackles for loss, and as a sophomore, 4.5 sacks, 13.5 tackles for loss. And his best season in 2018, he finished with 10 sacks, 15.5 tackles for loss, and 7 career forced fumbles over in Florida State. He's 6'5". He weighed in at 249 pounds at the combine. 40-yard dash, 4.53. Vertical jump is 36 inches. Broad jump is 129 inches. And a 7-second three-cone drill. Put that in perspective, that's about as fast as DK Metcalf ran his 7-cone drill. Like I said, the weight is an issue for Brian Burns. It does seem pretty hard for him to keep above 250, 260 pounds. He is fast enough to play outside linebacker, so I do believe he could become an outside linebacker in the league, but I do believe he's the biggest sleeper in this draft. I do believe he's a mid-first-round pick, and I do hope the Lions end up drafting back, maybe get an extra second- or third-round pick and end up taking him. He's phenomenal. Watching him on tape is incredible. He's so flexible, and he gets so low to the ground when he's going after the quarterback. But yeah, I do believe if the Lions are going to go the defensive end route and players like Quinnen Williams, Sweat, Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, who will more than likely be gone, I think Brian Burns would still be a great pick at number 8. I do believe he's going to be a tremendous defensive end in the league. Moving on here, I'd just like to throw out there that I think what Bob Quinn has done as the Lions general manager has been tremendous. I think the last couple drafts he's had, he's thrown out of the park. Just wonderful drafts. Not a lot of cap space to work with the last couple years, but a lot of cap space to work this year, and I think he hit free agency out of the park. And he needs to. The NFC North is a tough division. Green Bay got a lot better, adding Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and underrated safety coming from Chicago, Adrian Amos. They had a great free agency period. The Bears, however, did not. They lost players like Bryce Callahan. They lost Adrian Amos. They ended up signing Clinton Dix. And they actually just ended up trading yesterday Jordan Howard, their starting running back, for a 6th-round pick to Philadelphia. They do not have a first and second round pick this year, and just not looking good this offseason for Chicago. They also lost a very good slot corner, Bryce Callahan, on top of all that. The Vikings, I do think they get it back together this year. They did lose Sheldon Richardson in free agency, but they ended up bringing back Anthony Barr, which was very big for that defense. I do think Kirk Cousins gets it back together this year with Thielen and Diggs. And hopefully Dalvin Cook can stay healthy for them. But yeah, I think it'll be a very competitive year, the NFC North. I'm going to kind of put out some predictions on my next episode and to answer some questions that I've gotten on my Instagram. But if you guys want to follow the Instagram handle is Lions Empire NFL, all one word. And this is going to conclude my first podcast. I'd just like to thank everyone for the support and listening, if you are here listening still. And just want to also apologize. I'm a little shaky, first podcast, but I will get better. I promise you that. And just thank you everyone for the support, if you are still listening again. And thank you. Go Lions.